Okie dokie, folks. Welcome to the Roots Report podcast, presented by Motif Magazine and sponsored by Rhode Island Blood Center, Mother Earth Wellness, Graysale Brewing, Trinity Brew House, Ballet RI, and R1 Indoor Karting. I am your host, John Fusick. Today we have comedian Lewis Black. His most recent comedy special, Tragically I Need You, is available on YouTube. He will be bringing his Goodbye Yeller Brick Road tour to Veterans Memorial Auditorium on March 21st. Hi, Lewis. How are you?
Every day more joyous. Every day rich and full. You know, it's really more than I could have hoped for. it's so nice that we're not even living in the century we should be living in.
No, I know. So you're on your tour bus?
Yeah. I'm going from Chicago, where I saw some friends, to St. Louis for a show tomorrow night.
So this is the Goodbye Yeller Brick Road Tour?
Yeah, Yeller. Yeah, Y-E-L-L-E-R, yeah.
Are you retiring?
No, I mean, I'm retiring from touring. I'm retiring from, getting on the tour bus and doing 150 dates a year. That I can't. I need to do some other things. I mean, I'll continue to do a show here and there, but I'm not going to do show after show after show. I'm not doing four or five shows in a weekend, but what I'm going to do is what I'd like to catch up with my writing, and I'll be on the Daily Show, and I'm not finished yet. The touring chapter is over. It's been great.
I don't blame you. It probably is time to wind down a bit. Enjoy your life a bit. Do what you want to do. That's what life is, really.
Well, I mean, I'd like to, that's the thing. I go, kind of actually live a life, So, I mean, not that touring's not a life, but there are other things besides wandering from village to dell.
Right, right. Oh, I agree with you. I just noticed that you had a new special up. I didn't realize that one. I was just watching part of it. The last one I had seen was Thank You for Risking Your Life. I didn't know Tragically I Need You. I just saw that one was up.
Yeah, no, that's kind of you put it on YouTube and everybody will know. No, they don't.
No.
And I got the word out as much as I could. And I meet people from time to time and tell them, and they go, oh, wow, I didn't know. It's really, it's beyond belief. It works, I think, for a lot of folks to be, it was not a place that I should have been, but, due to my, I won't even go into it. I can't even talk about how I ended up on YouTube. It was one of those things like, no, but the problem was, I wanted to get it up, really needed to come out then. It was faster, this is how insane, faster for me to put that special together and be ready to do it than it was for me to find a place.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they said, there's all sorts of reasons I keep on doing. They're all what was about the, and it's all the insanity of the business. I could go through Netflix. I'm not going to do it. If there are reasons that it didn't end up on a variety of platforms. It had nothing to do with me.
These days, it's hard to tell. I mean, businesses and contracts and bullshit, it's out of control. It's just too much, I'm sure. I'm sure it's a headache because, I just know dealing with what I do deal with on a daily basis, it's everything's complicated. Nothing's easy anymore.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be easy.
Yeah. Things that are supposed to be easy wind up the hardest thing. I mean, technology is supposed to make your life easier, and it makes it friggin' difficult.
Yeah, no, it does. It's really, it's extraordinary.
So I was sad to hear about your mother. I didn't know that. I just found that out today. 104, yeah. That's a good run. I got to tell you, that's a good run.
Yeah, and my father was 101.
Yeah, so that's good. That's great for a couple to live as long as they did.
Yeah, no, and I talk about a bit about it in my act now, too. I always talked a bit about it in the last four specials.
Do you anticipate yourself going that long, or?
No, I don't. I don't think so. Before. I mean, it was weird to be, and tough to explain, but I'm getting older and going to see my mother, who's getting older, and I'm looking at what could be my future, and I'm going, whoa, I'm not sure. really am prepared for this. You're watching this, and then you're starting, you know, you at my, what was essentially a younger age, I'm starting to feel older, you know.
No, I get it. I'm watching that happen right now. My father's going to be 89, and, you know, he wants to live to be 100, but it's tough. It's tough watching him, and I mean, you know, I'm getting up there as well. So, you know, you're watching it, and then you're comparing the future with their future, and you're just wondering, you know, what's this all about?
I get it. And in our generation, my generation didn't prepare, hasn't prepared, in light of all that we've watched, has not prepared themselves for what's coming. At all. No. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, the reason my parents lived that long was because I was able to afford, you know, because of, you know, because of an audience that really kind of came out to see me, you know, 24/7 care. I mean, that's, you know, and you're lucky to find a good assisted living place. And they're flipping them. They flipped them.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Wake the fuck up.
It's all friggin' money. It's just crazy. Nothing is sacred anymore. I mean, healthcare, you know, things that should be sacred and taken care of are just out for money-making schemes now. People are out to screw you every which way to Sunday.
Yep. So, really, it's kind of remarkable what goes on. We shouldn't be having to deal with this at all. And and you think at this point, you know, it took forever to get... I mean, this is all stuff that when I was in college was being pushed for, and now we've gotten pot legalized in all sorts of places, and now we don't even know how to control the legalization of pot. We have managed to become more inept over time, and I don't know how that's possible.
We're devolving as a species. I think we're going on the we reached our apex, and now we're on the downslide. I have a question to ask you, and this might be a touchy subject, but I'm going to take the chance with you because you seem like somebody that can have a logical and sane conversation about something, and I hope this doesn't offend you, but it's something I've been wanting to talk about, and I figure that you are the best person I could talk to about it. Now, I've seen you, we've talked many times over the years.
Yeah.
Like I said, I apologize in advance if this is offensive in any way. It's not meant to be. It's just to, I want to talk about a subject that has been very touchy. Now, you, in your past comedy specials, have had this bit you did about Jewy Jew's gun shop.
Yeah.
Now, you've used the word Jewy Jew. Now,
yeah.
A couple of years ago, somebody on Facebook posted that they heard somebody use the word Jewy and were extremely offended by it. What I did was I said they were calling the person anti-Semitic for saying that. And I said, that doesn't necessarily make them anti-Semitic. It's a word that people have used throughout their lives. People in older generations have used and don't attach any connotations to it. They just use it without even thinking about it. And it doesn't make them anti-Semitic. It just makes them clueless and older and set in their ways. And I was blasted and this was a couple of years ago. Now, it's rearing its head again. I said this and was trying to defend somebody of an older generation who may not understand something and is not anti-Semitic, but because of all the Israeli stuff that's come up, people are looking for excuses to jump on somebody and attack them. I in no way said this word, in no way used the word. I was trying to defend somebody who was an older person who, like the word gyp and gypsy, doesn't really understand that it's a negative connotation, but it doesn't necessarily make them anti-Semitic. Now, what do you feel about that?
I feel that am I offended by the question? No. But B, what happens is, that's out there in its own. People who come to see me will see that, okay? But now we're putting it out there for anybody to look at without any context whatsoever, and they flip out. I did it for a group of adults sitting in a room for a long time. I mean, I did it up, you know, like while I was developing the special, and it was for the adults in the room, and that's what happens with everything. So they find out that Bill Clinton has a blowjob in the White House. They can't repeat it enough. They can't say it enough. They couldn't say grabbing pussy enough. They couldn't show Janet Jackson's tit enough. None of it was there for fucking public consumption on that level. They go, oh, this is awful. Let's show it again. This is awful. Let's show it again. This is awful. Let's show it again. And so, you know, this without context, is really, you know, I can sit here and explain the joke. It's a good joke. I don't care. It's got nothing to do with anything. A, I'm Jewish, and, you know, I was bar mitzvahed, and I went through all this, and then I take the piss out of the word. It's, as far as I'm concerned, nobody, no one in any of the audiences I perform for went, oh, no, nobody, because they got the joke, or they didn't get the joke, and we're just, you know, and we're disappointed, but it didn't, you know, drive them to distraction or see me as I, you know, it's a joke. It's a joke about Alabama, for fuck's sake. That's the joke, and that's where people get lost. They hear the word, and they don't go to the next words.
Right.
And I've been through it all my life when it comes to comedy. And I'm fucking tired of it.
Now, what
but
do you,
that's the deal.
Now, what do you think about, you know, people that use the word in their life just as an adjective or something and don't assign any anti-Semitism to it, but just use it just as something they've used their life and don't think about it? I mean, does that make them a bad person? Does that make them anti-Semitic? Or does that just make them just set in their ways?
It just makes them that they're, you know, they're in a, that's, their brain is in a lockdown. That's probably the case.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to explain to people.
And to be honest with you, outside of myself saying it on stage, I've never heard it anywhere, any fuckwhere.
Now, that's weird, because when I was young, I heard it more often. I've never used it because I don't find it a good word, but I do know people who've used it over the years, and it's just, I don't fault them for it. It's just the way people in certain generations, especially your generation. I mean, you're about, I don't know, 12, 13 years older than me. And, you know, people of certain generations were brought up saying certain things and find nothing wrong with it and are perplexed as to people losing their shit when they say something. And it's just usually by somebody who's much, much younger, who takes offense to everything. And I just am wondering, like I said, is it something that if you heard somebody use that, would you think they're an anti-Semite right away? Would you just think that they're...
It all depends on context. It's totally boils down to context. If you don't hear it within the context, then you can't make a judgment about it. I mean, you just can't.
Well,
once it's out of its context, you know, and a lot of times you read these guys go, well, you know, you took this out of context. Well, there's no context you can put it in, you know, so you don't really know what they're, you know, and there's so many other words that are worse.
Oh, no, I know.
I never heard the word. What I heard, and I only heard it twice in my life, and when I was at Chapel Hill, was the word, was kike.
I remember that from movies in the 70s, that I think Porky's used that word quite a bit in the movie Porky's. Now, that was a very politically incorrect movie, but... Yeah, I mean, that's a word that nobody uses. I never hear that at all, but I never heard it unless it was in a movie. And
yeah, I heard it. I've only heard it a couple of times. So, you know, I just think there are, you know, this is, there are, that I know of, and that is, you know, it's, people come on and they talk about what's going on. I don't see that kind. I don't see it. I mean, I talk about stuff on stage that's still, you know, in this act, that, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, that where I refer to, I know what it is, but I can't tell you. I really can't.
I don't want you to spoil the joke for your show. It's fine.
No, it's a major joke and a major reveal. And
no, I'll have to go see the show for this. I understand.
I've talked about, look, I dropped 30, 40, when I first started doing stand-up, when I first decided to figure out if I wanted a tour, I was in Michigan, and I kind of realized I had an opening joke, and it was about being bar mitzvahed, and once I finished telling that joke where I was, I realized I was not going to open with that ever again. You know, I expected that people knew what this was, and this group of people didn't know what it was, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this and really want to be a comic, I'm not going to, this is not, you know, I know Jewish comics who were very about talking about it. There's a bunch of them, and they're great. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't funny talking about it. Where I was funny was talking about it in context or in light of Christianity and comparing Judaism to Christianity, and that's where the jokes came from.
basically, it sounds like it boils down to, it seems like it's less of a big deal with you than other people, that it doesn't seem like what I did by trying to explain to this person was all that wrong.
No, and I think it was nice, very nice of you to try to explain it to him. My problem is that I don't want to discuss it because they don't, until they calm down, and they're not calming down, and they eventually will, because this will exhaust them.
Yes, I know. Everybody gets riled up over certain things, and, you know, then they move on to the next thing to be hypersensitive about and crazy.
Well, it's also the times, you know, and what's really awful is that the focus is on they're taking the off ramp.
Right.
There are bigger things in front of them that are more disturbing in terms of what's coming out. Not just a variety of politicians' mouths is much more disturbing than what's occurring on the level of the public.
Right.
Much more disturbing.
No, I totally understand. I mean, it's just, you know, they're being... What my argument was is that I'm on their side and they're picking on somebody that's on their side. They're, you know, I'm somebody that's with them. All right. I'm sorry I brought that up. I just wanted to, it was something that's been on my mind because I'm, like I said, I'm being chastised for
it. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, I had a thing recently and it's hard to, I have a big problem with, I read what's on the Twitter page, and I shouldn't. And
yeah.
I did a show in Waukegan this weekend, and it went great. And it was a standing ovation, and it was a ton of people. Okay, so there are like 1,800 people in the house, and it's a standing ovation. And I get one text from this guy saying, "You know, it's a good thing you're quitting comedy. You're not funny anymore. I want my $60 back." And I ended up letting it depress me for like a partly cloud my day. And I'm like, what is that? You know, and I'm letting whoever this person is, you know, it's not like it's a major critic.
Right.
It's like it's Joe Duda in the middle of you know, wherever. And that, you know, it's just tough because it goes back, because I feel that all social media is, to me, the more I look at it, in terms of what it was supposed to be and in terms of what at times it is, at times it's high school. It's just high school.
It is,
it's high
really.
School. And that's really one of my favorite jokes ever, which is, and I still have to remind myself to say it because I've never done it a lot. It's never been in a special, but the real world is just like high school, only there are more places to eat.
So you're going to be at Veterans Memorial Auditorium on March 21st. Now, I noticed, I looked at your schedule. I mean, no wonder you don't want to tour anymore. I mean, you're going to Amsterdam, Belgium, London, Germany, and Sweden as well.
Yeah.
That's going to take a lot out of you, too. Just going over there, that whole trip is going to be tough.
Well, it's not bad. I've got 3 or 4 days between shows, and so and it's only 5 shows in a month, so it should work out all right. The difficult thing will be me remembering my shit. But otherwise, it should go well.
Well, it seems to wrap up in Boston at the end of September, and that'll be it.
Well,
Boston is going to be the last
date? No, that won't be it. I've got, I'm going to go through December.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, now that I've said I'm leaving, then venues that I've gone to have said, well, we really want you back.
That's a compliment.
It is. So, There's certain places I might return to, which, I mean, I played I played up in Providence a ton.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to you many times since you've come up. We've met a couple of times as well. It's just, you know, you're one of my favorite comics because you basically, you just say what it is. I mean, I like the way you lose your shit over stuff because it makes me, it feels like I'm venting through you in a way.
Well, good. That's the concept.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go watch this other special that you had, though, because I didn't know it was out there. Like I said, the last one I saw was the Thank You for Risking Your Life. And
well, the thing I tried to get, you know, and I couldn't go on a show to talk about it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, you're not going to do YouTube and you'll be able to do a bunch of... No, I didn't. I wasn't able to. It wasn't that important to, late night television where people would be able to see that I had this on. What I thought the most interesting thing about that special was the amount of time it took me to write it. It was all about my dealing with the pandemic, and together with the Thanks for Risking Your Life was a bookend of a time frame, and I kind of, you know, left basically some of what has been the bread and butter of my comedy behind to talk more personal.
I've mentioned this to you in the past, and you know, you have a connection with Kathleen Madigan. I talked to her last year, and yeah. I could see this. You mentioned I got as far as watching a thing where you and Kathleen mentioned that you were calling each other, talking about the pandemic and Fauci, and it's like you were tracking the virus. It's kind of like her Malaysian Airlines kind of bit that she did in her show. It's kind of the same thing where you got focused on it. And I'm sure when I watch this, it's going to be great. And I hope everybody else watches it. Tragically, I Need You on YouTube. So just look it up on YouTube, Lewis Black. So hopefully people that will hear this will go out and watch that special. Because like I said, I'm a fan and I knew nothing about it. I usually get emails about stuff from you. So I don't think I got an email about it either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to keep you. I enjoy talking with you. Thank you for all the comedy you've given over the years. And hopefully you will continue to do it in whatever fashion you choose to do it for many years to come.
Yeah, I'll continue to do my rant cast, which I may do live in certain places with a couple of other folks reading rants. Somebody up in Providence has a rant that they want to write in before the show, please do go to livelewis.com, I think it is, or just go to lewisblack.com. You can find how to send in the rant, and I'm now reading a couple of folks' rants during my show each night, just because I want to bring that back.
You
and,
do it,
and to remind people that I have this rant guest.
Now, you used to do it after the show. Now you're doing it during the show now, as opposed to after it.
Yeah, just during. But I only read a couple. I used to do like 15 or 20 minutes, and so it was becoming a 90-minute show, and it really is like doing two different shows. And the second show, I realized needed a jump in energy because I'm basically talking to computers, and I need to push. You know, these people really want me to yell this stuff, and so it was just becoming an overload. And so it became easier to, you know, if I could do it, I would do it. But I'd rather do one show or the other show.
Are you going to have an opening act? I know you usually have a comedian you work with. I don't know.
I used to be my friend John Bowman. It's now Jeff Stilson.
Okay.
Very good. He's a really, he wrote on the Letterman show. He produced on Chris Rock and a number of other shows. He's a really terrific comic and writer.
Great. Well, March 21st, Veterans Memorial Auditorium. Lewis Black, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to chat again, and hopefully we chat again sometime in the future.
I hope so, and thank you, and I really appreciate the time.
Oh, no, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okie dokie. Thanks to Lewis Black. His most recent comedy special, Tragically I Need You, is available on YouTube. He will be bringing his Goodbye Yellow Brick Road tour to Veterans Memorial Auditorium on March 21st. For more, rant on over to thevetsri.com. The Roots Report podcast is presented by Motif Magazine and sponsored by Rhode Island Blood Center, Mother Earth Wellness, Graysale Brewing, Trinity Brew House, Ballet RI, and R1 Indoor Karting. Thanks for listening.